Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
Yes, we rock and or roll into hour number two. It is a nifty little thing that I invented called the 5 at 5. Yes, indeed. Because one person who used to work with us just was not paying attention.
You regretted at that time he asked you where you would least like to be naked, though.
Gee whiz.
How about everywhere?
That was something. Yeah, I was like, unless I'm in the shower,
yeah.
I'm generally clothed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The 5 at 5 brought to you by the good folks at Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. He is the great Chris Brame, fighting a horse. Wait, what kind of horse? You mean like the one that Mongo punched out in Blazing Saddles? No, his voice is hoarse. So, Brame, I've already seen him. He has taken down a half bottle of Crown Royal Extra. With that honey coming out of the big bear there. So some Crown and honey just to get the throat feeling better.
I'm almost down to the bear's neck.
Yeah, it's getting very entertaining here. Brame's just going to be hammered by the time the 5 at 5 is in. And by the way, here's a good one. And of course, and I just have to go back to every excruciating loss. From our friend 42 Cobras, Adam Wynn, a 5 at 5 in honor of Avengers Infinity War, which I probably won't go see because there are too many characters and the last one was so bad. Who is your athlete? Is it Thanos? Is that the name of the villain there? Question mark. Who is that one guy from any team, any sport, past or present, you do not want to come up against in the clutch? If you're talking, their coaches, there's one coach in particular I'd rather not play against. But as far as athletes go, I mean, we've had our share. You know, Marino, Blackledge, Bo Jackson, Danny Wonderful, as Spurrier called him. Tim Tebow, and, you know, Cam Newton was pretty good over at Auburn, even though that was for just one year. If you're a big Braves fan, was there that one guy who always seemed to get the clutch hit? I can tell you from baseball days, following the Braves and the Yankees, a guy that I did not want to see on the other side. He beat the Braves in 93 and beat the Yanks. No one was Curt Schilling. That was a guy who just was always a clutch player, no matter if he was for the Phillies or for the Diamondbacks. But no doubt, like from a Georgia standpoint, I mean, take your pick. So many great quarterbacks. And of course, Bama's had so many great ones. But the guy that stands out to me was Bo Jackson. It's like, oh, my gosh, if it's third and short and they're pitching it to that guy. And we had good defense. We had a great defense against him in 83 and good ones after that. And we beat him in 82, had a phenomenal defense. But still, though, when that guy had the ball in his hands, oh, man.
Well, the two best players ever in the league were Herschel and Bo. And then recently you've had Scam, but for 1 year, though.
Right.
But it was a heck of a year. But yeah, I mean, I guess Bo would be the answer. Is that at war? I mean, he's the second best running back in the history of the SEC.
Plus, he swung a mean stick on the diamond too.
Yeah, first night game at Foley Field, he got a bunch of home runs.
And you've got that certificate to prove it.
Prove I was there. Yes.
So, Chris is a Braves fan. Who would be the guy? Do you like my Schilling answer, or is there a guy? You know, I guess Jim Leyritz would be too easy an answer there, but that was just a one-time thing.
Well, I mean, just in the thing is like, I mean, Jeter was one of those guys in the postseason that you just knew when he came up to bat in the playoffs. Like,
if he was against you.
Yeah.
You
didn't want him coming up.
Like, the Mets' answer to this would be Chipper Jones.
Yeah,
he just
murdered
the Mets.
Yeah. For the Falcons, it would have to be Montana and Rice, right?
Oh, my gosh. I think, like, for Rice, if you look at, like, the five DBs, he beat for the most touchdowns in his career. I think three of them played for the Falcons.
Yeah, but like the thing is, like with Montana and Rice, they didn't actually have to be clutch because the games are just blowouts.
Blowouts,
anyway.
But like Bobby Butler and Charles Demery were, and I remember, and Bobby Butler, you know, he wasn't bad, but remember Rice was, oh, no, he was a good cornerback. And it's like, is he just saying that because he doesn't want the Falcons to get rid of him here?
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, Jerry Rice would certainly be at the top of the list for the Falcons. I mean, for the Hawks, I think when you go and look, they're kind of like everybody else. I mean, a guy who spoiled their parade several times in the 80s was number 33, Larry Legend. Larry Bird, and then I guess in the 2010s it'd be that guy LeBron, depending on
yeah. 90s it was Jordan.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if you're Cleveland, it's like, well, is it Jordan or Elway? You know, which all-time great is it going to be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's basically a tie right there.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Anti-clutch for them was, I guess, Ernest Biner.
Ooh.
But no, but I always remember, like, for whatever reason, one of my favorite baseball cards I had was – there was a Donruss card of Pat Tabler,
uh-huh.
and for some reason they stamped on there Mr. Clutch. I guess he was
got a lot of game winning.
I guess so, but like you know, this
when
like,
he played for the Indians.
Yeah, it was when he played for the Indians.
Okay.
So I guess just based on that, you have to say Pat Tabler.
Pat Tabler, there you go. And we talk about great clutch hitters. Well, yeah, I got DiMaggio, Williams, Aaron, Clemente. No. Pat Tabler.
Right.
That was Mr. Clutch.
According to Donruss in like 1985 or 1986.
That's a great authority.
But now we have to say, I mean, the guy, though, the ultimate guy has to be Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, my gosh.
With his playoff resume.
The guy's unbelievable. And the thing is, he's beaten, you name the team, he's beaten the Dodgers, the Pirates, the Cubs, the Mets.
Yeah.
The Cardinals.
I mean, just with his, you know, World Series ERA, which I think is like below one, isn't it?
Yes, and what in the World Series? What they've beaten the Rangers.
Now he went 8 scoreless against the Rangers in 2010.
All right, in 12.
12, he went 7 scoreless against the
Detroit,
Tigers,
and then in 14 they beat the Royals. That was a great World Series.
In 14, he gave up a run in 7 innings. Then he went 9 scoreless.
And then he came out of the pen, right?
And pitched 5 scoreless. So he's given up 1 run in the World Series.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's like, what is that, 8? 8, 7, 15, 9 is 24, 29. So in 29 World Series innings.
That's less than 1 run per game. This just in
yeah.
on that. You know, less than a 1 ERA. I do remember, though, in that World Series, there was 2 outs and nobody on, and somebody for the Royals hit a triple. And so he was obviously at third base as the tying run in that Game 7, and Bumgarner got the out. That guy has been Mr. Clutch.
It's 36. I missed a game.
So he's given up 1 run in 36 innings?
In the World Series,
that's
yeah.
the equivalent of 4 complete games.
Yeah. There's Adam's answer. If you're clutch guy, I mean that's just if you're in the playoffs or in the World Series, you do not want to face Madison Bumgarner.
You don't want to see that guy. I mean, Adam throws out there. He said Brady and Edelman, and I get that. But that was one game in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you go back, and that's a great call, Adam. But yeah, I mean, just in the 80s, I mean that Montana and Rice thing was holy smokes.
Well, based on the fact that I believe he's a terrible quarterback. But he has 2 very clutch moments. Eli Manning.
He's one of those guys. If you're a Patriots fan and it's 3rd and 11, it's like, I don't want the ball in this guy's
If
hands.
You're a New England fan, that's the answer. You don't want to face Eli Manning. That's which is weird because terrible's harsh. He's not terrible, but I don't think he's very good.
No, he's an average.
He's okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's and you think about like Georgia athletes who other teams would look at. It's like. In 2001, nobody for Tech, Coastal Carolina, anybody wanted to see Jeff Kepinger come up to the plate.
You know, no.
Nobody wanted to see Gordon Beckham come up to the plate or Rich Poitras in 2000. It's like these guys are going to get the big hits. And here's the thing. In sports, the stats are great. And I love stats and I love numbers and what your batting average is, how many points you average. How many times you ran for 100 yards, how many touchdowns you scored, how many goals you scored, whatever it may be. But in the end, what do we really remember? You know, when I think about my fondest Georgia memories, I mean, the stats for Herschel and Hogue are incredible. But I remember Kevin Butler's kicks to beat BYU and Clemson. I remember Herschel's long touchdown. I remember him going over the top to beat Florida. I remember Ballou to Scott. I remember Jeff Kepinger's homers and Gordon Beckham's homers. I remember Jarvis Hayes' game-winning shots. You remember the clutch moments.
Yeah.
And especially when they come against a big rival and or with a championship on the line.
And, like, the thing with all those examples is, like, those guys weren't clutch players. They were just great at any point in the game.
That's exactly so right.
The guys I think sometimes you think of as clutch would be, like, Pat Tabler, who probably hit, like, 200, but then for whatever reason, like, when a guy was in scoring position or something, he hit, like, 400.
Tony Burchett for us in 2001.
Yeah, but like, you know, Beckham wasn't clutch. He was just great at any point
great
in the game.
All the time. And that was the thing with Jordan. He didn't just hit a bunch of game winners.
He did it all the time.
Shots all the time.
But
that's a great one there, Adam.
Yeah, but Pat Tabler's your answer, Adam.
If you're
that's the guy you don't want to face, according to Donruss.
If there was a Brave in the 90s, if you're a Braves fan – I mean, I just, you know, the Phillies beat him, and I think Schilling would probably be the guy, if you're a Braves fan, that you would not want to see.
Yeah,
because as far as an everyday player, though, the Atlanta's pitching was so good. There wasn't Tony Gwynn hit Maddox, but Tony Gwynn
hit everybody.
Right. There's not that one guy like Chipper was against the Mets who just annihilated. Of course, in the 80s, Nick Asaski murdered Braves pitching. Then they got him, and he played 13 games, got vertigo, and never played again.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't think of a guy. I mean, I remember in the 80s, it'd be like when the Braves would play the Dodgers, like Fernando.
Oh.
But, I mean, Fernando was a great pitcher, probably did that against everybody.
Absolutely. That's great stuff there, Adam.
What about – I was thinking of this with the NFL draft.
All right. What do you got?
If – give me your – I want your top five Georgia NFL players ever. You can only give me five.
Well, you got the three in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Trippy, Tarkenton, and Terrell Davis.
Okay.
Got to say Champ Bailey, don't we?
I think so. So that's four.
Do you got Seymour or Hines? Or Herschel? Herschel had a phenomenal pro career. It is held against him that he was in a trade that he did not make.
Right.
His total yardage from scrimmage, I believe, is third or fourth all time.
He was good, but I still just don't define him as like a great NFL player. He was good, though.
Well, he was the greatest college player ever.
Yes.
And just a great. So would you say Champs? God, then you got Jake Scott, too. Jake didn't have quite the longevity. Stanfield. I mean, we've had so many. I think you'd probably. God, would you go with Hines?
I'd probably say Hines.
You know, like we said, we got some guys like A.J. Green could be in that conversation the next 4 or 5 years.
A.J., I mean, Stafford is good.
Yes. You know, even a guy like Geno Atkins.
Geno Atkins.
Or if you go back and look.
Justin Houston.
Yes. You let me tell you a guy who was a phenomenal NFL player for Georgia was Ray Donaldson. That guy started at center for the Colts for like
forever.
15 years, then played for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, it's like kind of like, you know, like look at what David Andrews has done.
Yes.
You know, Ben Jones is
for sure
still at Tennessee.
I mean, so just guys going strong there.
Well, how about Guy McIntyre?
Guy McIntyre. Kevin Butler.
Yeah.
It was the Bears' all-time leading scorer till Robbie Gould.
Yeah. Robbie Gould. Knocked him out.
Guy's a good call. You know, football is so tough because we can talk about it. And I think in the pros – we could say in our lifetime, like from the 80s on, it's like, who's the greatest quarterback ever? Well, you can debate, but there were several that we saw who were in the conversation, Elway, Marino, Montana, then on into Brady and Manning. And you know, I think Aaron Rodgers in that loop. Who's the best running back? Well, probably say Jim Brown, then maybe Barry Sanders, maybe Eric Dickerson. Who's the best receiver? I think universal is Rice. Who's the best lineman? Well, probably Bruce Matthews at guard, maybe Dwight Stevenson at center. Munoz, the best tackle I ever saw. LT, I think we'd all agree, is the best pass rusher. You know, for defensive linemen, Mean Joe Green was my favorite, but Reggie White and Bruce Smith are in the conversation. You know, secondary, like Deion, Ronnie Lott, Rod Woodson. So we've seen all these greats. So then if somebody says, like, okay, pick the best player on defense, pick the best player on offense. Well, it's hard to say, like in football, all right, let's say if Elway's your quarterback, and he's my favorite, he was my pick, okay, and Munoz. So who was better, Elway or Munoz? Well, it's apples.
You can't measure him.
You can't measure it.
Yeah.
Who's better, LT or Rice? Like, well, there's no way one was the best at what he did, one was the best at what he did. basketball, you can, and I get it, they're different positions, especially when the three centers played, when it was Wilt and Russell, then on into Kareem. But, I mean, now a guy, yeah, and Magic really paved the way for this, but guys like LeBron and Durant, they bring the ball down the floor. So in basketball, and then in baseball, averages, golf scores, you can compare guys through eras. But football is very difficult to do because, you know, it kind of goes back to the recruiting thing too. Well, who are the top two or three recruits? Like, well, there's a great running back in Texas. There's a great quarterback in Florida. There's a great offensive lineman in Georgia. There's a great defensive tackle in California. You know, who's to say?
Yeah, you just got to get somebody at every position.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, but it's hard just to measure because the positions are so different. And some compile stats and then – But others don't. I mean, like offensive linemen, I guess, you know, they get grades from their coaches and whatnot, but it's not the same as, you know, yards.
Right.
You know, rushing yards, passing yards,
and then for
scoring
like DBs,
touchdowns.
You can't even really say interceptions because, like, nobody would throw at Deion or Rod Woodson after a while.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, like for basketball, like Durant and Chris Paul play different positions. And Chris Paul's terrific, but I can say Durant is a better player than Chris Paul. LeBron James is a better player than Steph Curry. I know Curry won the MVP, but
twice.
But come on.
Yeah.
If your mortgage depended on it.
Well, like this year James Harden's going to win the MVP, and I think everyone realizes that LeBron is better than James Harden.
I mean, if your job depended on it, and you had to take a guy, and it was between LeBron and Steph Curry, I mean, come on.
You're taking LeBron.
If you had to be completely honest with yourself.
You see him last night, he got away with that goal 10, and then he hit the game-winning shot.
Well, Stephen A. Smith says the Cavs are struggling because of him.
Okay.
Maybe they'll move him.
Well, I got to tell you, our friend Ross yesterday, one of his 5 at 5 questions was, he asked me if I thought, like, if Russell Westbrook was, like, the reason, like, would he ever win a championship? Or was he –
it's not big enough.
Was he the reason? Was he holding people back? Because, like, you know, he played with Harden and Durant, couldn't win one.
They messed up, by the way, letting Harden go.
It looked like they were going to get eliminated, you know – last night, but then all of a sudden, like, Westbrook wakes up in the third quarter. I think he outscored Utah in the second half.
The guy's unbelievable.
But so I guess maybe he was listening yesterday and got mad at Ross because Ross said he blamed Westbrook.
It's tough for a guy at that position with that size. Just it's hard to carry it in the NBA. LeBron's 6'9", 260.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the look with Westbrook is like he's maybe a stat compiler and he's, you know, he likes, I averaged a triple-double for the season, but that's not necessarily in the best interest of the team. But, I mean, I certainly don't think he's, like, holding anybody back. I mean, Oklahoma City wouldn't even – they'd have won, like, 10 games last year if they didn't have Westbrook.
They messed up when they got to the finals and we're trading for the future. It was Harden's last year of contract. You got to keep him and try and win a title. And when he goes, he goes.
Flags fly forever.
And I mean, they would have had Durant, Westbrook, and Harden together. And then so Harden leaves and Durant winds up leaving.
Yeah.
They should have kept him. And you know what? Hey, I mean, I'll give you another one too. Like the Twins, I can't remember if it was a free agency or they let him go. You know, the Twins there for a while, they had Mauer, Morneau, and Big Poppy. And then they let Big Poppy go,
but he was terrible though. Like when he played for the Twins, he
still had some pop.
You know what he got into when he got to Boston?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Who's the Georgia player that had the most surprisingly? And I mean, bust is a harsh word, but you know, it is what it is. Like bust NFL career guy coming out of Georgia, you just thought you're convinced there's going to be a stud prospect. Play for a long time in the NFL and just didn't work out. I've got two that pop into my mind, and they're more recent.
Jonathan Sullivan.
He's one of them, yeah.
Pollock got hurt.
Yeah, I didn't really think that he was destined to be a great NFL player.
It wasn't a good sign for him, too. He played defensive end, and the Bengals were talking about making him a stand-up outside back. It's like, don't draft a guy in the first round if you're going to play him in a different position.
Yeah. Even though he was the three-time All-American, to me, like, Thomas Davis was a guy in Georgia's defense.
Oh, for sure. By the way, TD's another guy who could be in that conversation.
Yeah, that's a good call, yeah. The other guy from Jarvis Jones is another one.
I agree.
Who
he hadn't had a great career.
No.
Yeah. No, and plus he went to Pittsburgh. You just think that was a perfect fit.
I know. It seemed, yeah, but it just didn't pan out.
So if you were going to do top five Georgia players pro careers, and let's just say in the Super – well, Tarkenton, obviously, he did play in Super Bowls. So let's say post-Tarkenton. I mean, Mr. Trippi played both ways. He's going to throw out a first pitch, too, Saturday, by the way. It's
late this
day. Yes.
That's great.
He's like 95. Guy's unbelievable. So Trippi and Tarkenton were both already in the Hall. So let's say the five guys after Tarkenton. I mean, you'd have to say – you have to say TD. You have to say Champ. Hines. Seymour, TD.
Wait, you said TD already.
Thomas Davis, I'm sorry.
Oh,
both TDs.
Well, you have to go. I mean, well, let's see. Champ's not in the Hall of Fame yet. He will. Champ. Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame. Champ and Hines will be in the Hall of Fame. Thomas Davis is going to be in the Hall of Fame, too.
And Seymour?
I think Seymour will get in also.
You got Guy McIntyre.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
No, but, I mean, he would be – I mean, Kevin's one of the best. You know who else? How about John Casey? What an unbelievable career he's had. Guy's a great call.
Yeah, because he played forever, too.
Yes.
And for the Niners.
Ray Donaldson is
a
great call.
He played forever, too. All right, a couple last things before we finish up with the draft tonight. Clowns, who do they take, and who would you take?
I would take Mayfield. I think they're bluffing, and they take Darnold.
Okay. And, all right, here's I looked at several different mock drafts. Most of the mock drafts have the Falcons taking the guy from Florida, Tavon Bryan. I also saw Calvin Ridley.
Mm-mm.
And that's my question. If you had your choice between Tavon Bryan or Calvin Ridley, if it came down to that for the Falcons, which one would you take?
I think I'd have to take Bryan because they need help on that defensive front. I wish De'Ron Payne was there for him.
I mean, if he is, maybe.
Payne would be the guy to me.
I would take him over Bryan. Because Georgia played both of those guys last year, and I remember one of them.
I mean, Payne was unbelievable. I mean, just how about the game he had against Clemson in New Orleans?
Yeah. I did go, like, earlier this morning, I went on YouTube, and I was watching the Florida game from last year. Because I was honestly like, I don't remember this guy, Tavon Bryan. It's just weird that... You know, you'd think like, okay, I mean, the guy played at Florida, like I'd be somewhat aware of him if the Falcons are going to take him with the first pick. And I did see like when on Sony's run.
The long touchdown, the 80-yarder.
And not to pick on him, but like Kendall Baker did not block him. Uh-huh. He was right in the backfield, but Georgia just ran the other way. And then the hole opened up and Sony was gone. And so there were a couple times like in the game last year that Georgia just basically just like, Baker struggled blocking him last year.
Right.
But Georgia just was running in the opposite direction.
We're going to miss Sony Michel a lot more than people think. We're going to have great backs. It is unbelievable how many yards he got, how many potential lost yardage plays he turned into long games.
Yeah, but there were a couple times last year rewatching some of the Georgia's possessions in that game where Bryan did like, I mean, it was like all of a sudden he was in the backfield, but we were just running away from where he was.
Sometimes that's the best strategy.
Yeah.
Just go away from their best guy.
All right, we'll take a break. There's your 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.